Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, August 29th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Who is that cartoon character that used to... Oh, Yogi Bear. And it's Yogi Bear. And the picnic basket for Boo Boo.
Anyway, you calling me boo-boo? Is that what you're doing right now?
Pardon?
Are you calling me boo-boo? Is that what you're saying?
I'm Yogi Bear.
You're Yogi Bear?
I'm Yogi Bear.
Huh?
Anyway, I'm sure the listeners all remember Yogi Bear and the picnic basket.
I don't remember, and that was before my time, Billet.
Okay.
It's only the old people that remember Yogi Bear.
Is that what it is? Okay. All right. Anyway. I was able to remember the gold prices today. Yep, gold up $220 for gold. For Monday is pretty good, $1,323 off the high of $1,326. So you have gold up $220 at $1,323 off the high of $1,326. Silver is up 15 cents at $18.90. Platinum was up $3. At 1,080, you have palladium up 8 at $699. And, of course, I think we have a stronger dollar today. I haven't been able to follow the paper markets much today. The USDX was up a little bit, 0.11 at 95.59. Crude oil was down 65 at 46.99. And the paper markets today, I believe they were... triple digits to the upside. You have the Dow up 108, 18,503. The NASDAQ up 13, 5232. The S&P up 11 at 2180. And Wall Street certainly loves, Janet Yellen. And looks like the economy is growing. As I guess they came out, and I don't have the full report in front of me, so I don't know all the tiny details. But I guess it shows that consumer spending is stronger. It rose for a fourth straight month in July, bolstered by stronger income gains. So if you believe that, then, well, how could we have disappointing retail sales and sluggish growth figures? You'd think that consumer spending would be pushing those along the way, and you would think that they would all kind of, you know, at least fall into the same realm of possibilities, but Friday the payroll report comes out, the employment report. So, and it's interesting now is because, you know, yeah, everybody wants inflation. We've got it. Don't get me wrong. And, you know, you and I debate that all the time. I disagree with you. We have inflation here. It's difficult for people to make ends meet as it is. But yet you want the Federal Reserve wants more inflation. And more inflation, the kind that they're asking for, really isn't the good kind. I mean, it's really going to hurt people's ability to continue to spend as they spend. I don't think it's always a reflection on greater income. And so, you know, I think the greater inflation that we have is going to be based on our fiat currency. And so, again, it's, you know, they're just struggling. They're grasping for that straw.
Got an article here from The Motley Fool that is paralleling what you're talking about, which is diminished spending, or at least you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the headline is, the average American household carries this much in credit card debt. How do you compare? It says, based on CardHub's data, the average credit card debt per household in the U.S. hit $7,879 in the fourth quarter of 2015. It's the highest level since the first quarter of 2009, when it was $7,887, and very close to the point at which credit delinquencies and charge-offs proved unsustainable during the Great Recession. Now, this is interesting stuff, because they go on, they say, in fact, CardHub pinpoints U.S. households as being an average of less than $500 away from unsustainable credit debt levels. All right? We are on the first they say that we are at the highest level since 2009, which is pretty much in the midst of the Great Recession. Our current sum of $7,879 average per household. Highest level since the first quarter of 2009, $7,887. We can assume that during the Great Recession, people were forced to rely on their credit cards in order to get by. This is there. We have to wonder, are people relying on their credit cards to get by right now? Because things aren't as good as the people in Washington and the Federal Reserve would have us believe. And then they go on, they say CardHub pinpoints U.S. households as being an average of less than $500 away from unsustainable credit debt levels. Now, that's an extraordinary sentence, because it implies that the average American can't go more than another $500 into credit card debt without being pushed over the line and into default. And then the article goes on and it says, now think about where your family's current credit card debt situation stands next to that $7,879 average per household. It's not a question, I don't care where your credit card debt level stands. What's important, is it true that you can't go more than another $500 into credit card debt without being forced to default? Is that true? Because it implies that the average American, even with a credit card, can't really afford to go out and buy another $1,000 flat-screen TV. It implies that if you want to be selling anything in this economy and you're depending on and you're hoping people will pay for it with a credit card, on average, the price of your product should be less than $500, because that may be as far as the average household can go deeper into credit card debt. This is strange. I mean, I'm reading the sentence again. It said, in fact, CardHub pinpoints U.S. households as being an average of less than $500 away from unsustainable credit debt levels. I didn't write that. I'm just reading it. And it implies that they're telling you, I mean, if I'm understanding that correctly, there's only, average American's only got another $500 before he's maxed out on his credit card. And maybe pushed to a level where he's going to be forced to default. Now, that's a pretty thin margin. All right? And it does not bode well for the economy. It does. I mean, it's one of the things you look at and you say, holy cow. I mean, this isn't, we hear these stories about people who don't have, they can't come up with $400 or $500 cash in the event of an emergency. And some significant percentage of the population falls into that classification. I don't remember. It's 30-40% can't come up with an extra. They don't have $400 or $500. But cash. Now we're sawing. Maybe the same. Roughly the same thing may be true with credit cards. On average, lots of people still have good credit, but some people have. You know, some people don't. We're talking about averages here. But just the same. That's true to me. That's scary. It says we are on the edge of something, and all of a sudden they're going to start defaulting on their credit cards. It's almost certain to start happening. It's probably happening right now to some extent, although it hasn't reached the average. It's down on the one end of the bell curve of the people that are having a problem with credit. They're already defaulting, of course, but average, good grief.
You know, what's different so much than, you know, back to 2008, 2009, prior to the Great Recession, is everyone knew that the credit lines were being, the ones that were being established, we knew that people were over their heads. We knew their adjustable rates were coming due, and a lot of them would be screwed and be losing their homes because they didn't count on. We knew that jobs were tight and jobs were beginning to be lost. When we could see it coming, we saw it as it was happening and so forth. This is a little bit different because this is like a quiet sort of approach to a recession. Because, you know, if you use these numbers, that we're only $500 away
average
from things to be defaulted on, it's like, what are they? We don't seem to hear about the credit lines. We don't seem to. It's like a little bit more of a quiet recession, but yet I think this will be the biggest recession that will outpace anything that we've seen in the past.
I agree.
And we don't have the jobs. You know, the quality of jobs aren't there, or the wages aren't there that we had back in 2008. There is a difference. There is a different feel to the economy. There isn't you don't feel the energy from the economy, that things are flying and things are great and so forth. So, you know, when you hear the numbers from the government, oh, everything is great and dandy. Well, if everything's were great and dandy, we'll go back to what I was talking about, that, you know, how can consumer spending be stronger when, you know, our retail sales are lower? And so the numbers just,
the retail sales don't match. Again, that idea is consistent with the observation that the average credit card person only has another $500
to go
before he's maxed out and maybe pushed into where he's forced to default.
But you can always depend on the U.S. of A. consumer. The American consumer, you can always depend on them.
I don't think you can, and I think you made a nice observation that this recession, which we may be in or approaching, this is different from the one in 2008, 9, whatever. We get into that recession with a certain amount of optimism. We had a full head of steam on. We'd been making money in the real estate business. We'd had, you know, that begin to crumble. But there was optimism that, all right, we'd go into a recession. We'd be done with it in 6 months or a year, and we'd be back in the game. We've now had 8 years of essentially stagnation. And I don't think we have any optimism right now. And I think that's the explanation. That may be part of the reason why we're coming into this quietly. Nobody's just pushing and shoving and, come on, let's get in and have that recession. Get over with it so I can make some more money. We are not anticipating making more money. We're not optimistic about this. And I don't think the government can easily sell us another dose of happy days are here again. I think the public has lost its optimism. And I think that's a significant loss. The Federal Reserve tells us that the essence, the fundamental element for our fiat currency is public confidence. Well, this idea of public optimism is not far removed from the concept of public confidence. Mm-hmm. What happens when we don't have any optimism that we are moving into next year's going to be? What happens when we don't believe that next year is going to be better?
I think what it is, number one, we never left the previous recession.
Oh, I agree.
I mean, we're still there. And but I think everyone, I think the reason, because it's also quiet, people might be out there spending and so forth, but I think everybody's waiting for that other shoe to drop. Everybody knows it's coming. They're going to still continue to live their lives. They're going to continue to, you know, go to all the movies, go to, you know, do whatever they have to do and pretend that everything is okay. But I think deep down, and I think a lot, this election has perhaps brought a maybe more of a sense of realization that that shoe is going to be dropping fairly quickly here. And maybe that's why, because everybody is cautious. Everybody, I mean, they continue to do what they do, but yet they speak. Well, you know, maybe things aren't as good as what, you know, we're told that is. So, you know, maybe we are, everyone is waiting for that other shoe to drop.
Well, I think you're right about the
election. It's not going to be a shoe. It's going to be a boot.
Yeah, as long as it's not a piano. That's what they do in the Roadrunner cartoons.
Yeah.
They drop a piano. But I think you're right about people waiting for the other shoe to drop and the impact that this election has had. I think it is unfortunate. I started out being completely hooray for Trump and the rest of that sort of thing. He has proved to be something of an embarrassment. Hillary's a crook. I don't know what Donald Trump is. But I'm going to support Trump just because I'm not going to support Hillary. But Trump is disappointing, and I think this is a situation. Here we are facing an American election, and the best we can do is get a crook and some kind of a carnival barker to run for the presidency. And it does not inspire optimism, confidence. It does not say, yay, we're America. You know, I can remember when we were the strongest country on earth, and everybody was proud of that. We're the richest country on earth. Everybody was proud and optimistic. Well, I mean, not everybody, but the vast majority of people. Yeah, this was a great country. Now you look at things like this election, and it becomes an indictment. It's not cause for optimism. It may be that we're going to get, it may be that whoever gets wins the election. Maybe it turns out they do something good for this country. It may yet happen. But I don't think many people are counting on that or expecting it. I think we all understand to some degree, and the election makes it clear. It's not just where a shoe's going to drop. It's not really where we have a good choice. It's a question of recognizing that we are screwed, right? We have played the fool for a couple of generations. We've allowed government to get away with things that they should never even have tried to get away with, but we've gone along with the program, and now we've painted ourselves into that corner, and we are not going to get out of this thing painlessly, quickly. It was good times getting into this mess, but now, you know, it's like getting drunk. You know, I really enjoyed all that beer, but I'm not too crazy about, I don't think I'm going to enjoy the hangover. You know, and what? It's kind of, that's where we are right now. We're facing a point where we're going to have to take our medicine. And it's not cause for celebration.
I am going to be optimistic, and I came into this election with Donald Trump kind of just the opposite of you. You were yay, yay, and I was nay, nay. And now I'm becoming to the point where, you know, I hear him on two different, you know, one minute I'm there, yeah, go, man, go. It's like, yeah, we're going to kick butt and all that. And then, you know, the next time I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, it's not going to be. And then a little bit of realization comes in, and I understand, I forget that I understand who runs things, who controls things, you know, the president anymore. Is he the true president of the United States, or is he, you know, a figurehead of the United States? Have we gone to a point in time where, yeah, they'll let him do a few things, or will he actually go in there and expose? If he wants to do something and they're not going to let him do it, will he expose them?
And well, the one thing about,
I'm not so sure he will, but
I don't know. I mean, Trump is the only one to my mind that might do something right.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't expect anything good to come out of Hillary. If
exactly.
Hillary's elected,
exactly.
I'm going to look at it as divine judgment saying, all right, you SOBs, now you're going to pay. Well, while we wait to find out how much we have to pay, if anything, let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. You stay tuned.
A heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Adusk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. And while we were on the break, taking a break there, Melody and I were talking a little about the media and how open the media has become, mainstream media, in terms of just being completely biased or significantly biased against Trump and for Hillary. That is the perspective that I have and Melody has on this.
And they have really exposed themselves this way. What are they going to do after the election?
I know, it's shameless.
How are they going to come back and say, okay, that was just for the election? No, they've truly exposed themselves. So that's how they do their reporting. And
yeah.
It's amazing, but not totally, you know, unaware and surprised, but it's
just strange when they become so blatant.
I know.
You know, that's the problem.
Yeah,
it's like going downtown and you see there's a gay pride parade and all of a sudden you've never seen one before and you say, holy crap, did you see?
Hey, we got a caller.
All right, let's take the caller. But let me say one thing before we take the caller. On the media, I think one of the things that's going to happen in this election, it's not just about Trump versus Hillary. It's also about the internet as a news source versus the mainstream media. Mainstream media seems to be promoting Hillary. The internet seems to be promoting Trump. I think one of the consequences of this election will be to discover whether the mainstream media is still relevant or whether the the internet has essentially overcome the mainstream media. We're going to see which these guys are betting everything kind of on one side or the other. And depending on who wins the election, we're going to find out whether the mainstream media is going to be relegated to oblivion. And I don't mean instantly.
I disagree with you on the internet, because I think most likely you visit websites and news outlets who are promoting Donald Trump. So you see, you know. But if you were a supporter of Hillary and you went to various news medias, you'd go to those very. So you really don't know what the internet is truly.
No, I understand
one way
that.
Or
it's
another,
an impression.
So,
it's a subjective impression. You know, but just so, the same, the mainstream media is showing us what they really are.
The mainstream media truly is.
And even so far as that happens, a lot of people are going to say, well, if they're just a bunch of, you know, con artists and hustlers, I'm going to start looking for my news on the internet. I'm not saying that the internet will win, but the mainstream media might lose. I'm betting that the internet will certainly gain credibility after this election, more so than it has right now. All right, that it'll become more of a let's get our news from the mainstream media, or let's get our news from the internet. Let's forget about the mainstream media. We have Yvonne is waiting patiently for us to take his call. Hello, Yvonne. How are you doing and where you been? We haven't heard from you for a couple of weeks.
Well, I just let you guys talk, you know. It's better to be quiet and listen than to talk and talk nonsense, you know.
Well, what made you decide to give up your strategy and speak out in public again?
Speak out. Well, a couple of things. As far as the local stuff going on, I agree with Melody that the president really doesn't have much power. It's all controlled by the cabal. And tweedledum. Of course, if you look at the people, I certainly would go with Trump and will go with Trump compared to Hillary. I mean, it will be a communistic. I mean, we are already in a communistic mode. It will be even deeper, more communist. But as far as.
Do you think Hillary is communist, or can you describe her more accurately as fascist?
No. Fascist is different. I lived on the boards, okay? I lived under fascist for what you call fascist. I mean, that was, we were national socialists, and Slovakia was, and we had Monsignor as the president, because Slovakia is 90% Catholic, or was at that time. So, and we were what, you know, they call a fascist or national socialist, whatever. But we were nationalists. That's what the whole thing was. She is totally communist. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, I know how communists operate because I lived under them for a few months, not long enough, but till we could get out of there. And she definitely and Obama definitely are communists. So, you know, so they. That they would go further left than what we are presently now. You know. But
they're not going to do anything to enhance the American people's freedoms or even preserve at the level we currently have.
That's for
which
sure.
Has already been diminished quite a lot, and they'll try to diminish it further. They're not here for the American people. They're fighting for other forces, and it's not you and me, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I agree. I mean, they'll be moving against gun control, you know, the Second Amendment, and then whatever other, you know, silencing you on radios, because presently radio is, in bad times, radio does come out more lucid than the MSM, you know, mainstream media, which is just...
Do you think they can really shut down freedom of speech in this country without, can they do that without first destroying the internet?
No. Companies do that all the time, so it's not a big big deal for them. You know? I mean, they'll just replace the people. And if Trump is, let's say if he goes against the will of the cabal, he'll be JFK, you know. And this is what Kennedy tried to do. He will go against the cabal and see what happened, okay. And it was,
so what do you think is the future of the cabal? Do you think what you're calling the cabal, do you think it is omnipotent and certain to win, or do you think it's in some jeopardy?
They already won. They won. They control the money. They are the money, you know, they control the money. And whoever controls money, Rothschild said, I control the nation. If I control the money of the nation, I'll control the nation. So that's already done, and that's over with.
Yeah, it's done, but is it done forever? And what I mean by that, you know, the monetary system is fragile, and it's based solely on public confidence because it's just a fiat dollar. This thing isn't it's not set in concrete. It doesn't have a solid foundation, and it could fall apart in a pretty short order. And what happens then to the cabal you're talking about?
Well, they'll pull their money out of it before it falls apart, and they'll have it. They'll have their gold and silver, which is they probably are hedging, you know, for that. And so they don't advertise it, and they don't, you know. But they have their safety net ready, you know. So there's nothing for them to worry. It's just the little guys, the middle class, and the rest of the people that will suffer. But that's my take on that if Trump has a big target on his back, if he goes too far, you know, without a leash, you know, and if they pull the leash, then only would be, I guess he would be JFK, then that would be it.
We don't use leashes anymore, Ivan. This is the 21st century. We use electric dog collars.
Well,
understand, we'll give him a little electric shock to keep him in line.
I don't know, it'll be a shock that he just flops over, you know, it's like what they did to Kennedy. It wasn't Oswald and all that stuff. That's a lot of cover up, a lot of.
Well, we hope not. But
well, I hope not either. But I
yeah, no,
it
so,
depends,
you know,
how far he goes.
But
how far he goes. But the other reason I called was, as you well know, that Turkey is invading Syria with more and more forces, and they're taking Kurds. And Kurds were friends of the U.S., but the U.S. abandoned them now. And from what I understand, there are Peshmerga forces from Iraq coming to Syria to support the Kurds against the Turks. So you'll have about 50,000 Kurds fighting, you know, the main army of Turkey, and I think that can be that can get a little bit.
This whole thing is liable to explode in everyone's face, is what you're saying. If we've got more soldiers coming from Iraq, if I heard you correctly, to support the Kurds against the Turks.
They're changing their uniforms to the PKK, which is, or, you know, the Peshmergas are changing the uniform, so they are part of, like, the Syrian Kurds, you know, compared to the Iraqi Kurds, you know. But they are all Kurds, so they are all, there's a major.
They should dress these people up like football players. They should have distinct uniforms where we can tell, and they got numbers on their back where you can identify who they are, colorful helmets.
That's what they are doing. They are switching their uniforms for the ones in Syria, according to DEPCA files and Drudge report, if you look at that. But anyway, I just wanted to point that out, that that can be a very explosive situation.
Yeah.
And U.S. pulling out, they are talking about, you know, they have some forces and some things. They already pulled, I guess, out of IFLIC Air Force Base in Turkey, and all the nuclear weapons were moved out to Romania. So, you know, I think the whole thing can destabilize very quickly, and which will help Israel, because what Erdogan wants is to get to destroy Kurds as well as Syria, get rid of Assad. And this is the same objective what Israel has. So they are going. It's going to be a double-edged sword, by, you know, against Syria and Kurds by Turkey. And from what I understand, I was just listening to Press TV, and they are moving more and more tanks and armored vehicles, troops into Syria. So,
how do you think this is going to unfold? What do you think the ultimate result will be?
Well, what the goal is to destroy destroy Syria and get rid of Assad, so they can have another Balkanization of Syria, and then they can have what they call a Greater Israel built, which is from Nile to Euphrates. And that's if you look at the Israeli flag, that they have two bars, you know, the two blue lines.
Yep.
One identifies Nile as the border, and the other one is Euphrates. Two rivers are the two lines. So that.
Do you think Israel is just, I don't know, a beneficiary of what's happening down there? They're,
oh, yeah.
This is working out, or do you think they are a motivator?
They are the
motivator. Are they making these things happen, or are they just say, hey, this is good? You know, it's like winning the lottery.
No, I mean, they are the motivators. They started the ISIS. You know who al-Baghdadi is?
I don't know the name as I hear you pronounce it.
Al-Baghdadi is the head of the ISIS, okay?
Okay.
They showed him preaching, you know, with a golden watch. I don't know if you've seen that video, but he is, his real name is Simon Elliott. He is of Jewish parents. So they...
How do you know that? Because, you know, we hear these things. You can get on the internet and you can hear, I mean, some people think Michelle Obama is a man.
Yes.
Now, and there's lots of people who believe that.
Yeah,
and there's video up to time that tends to support that contention, but still we are left to wonder, is this a reliable report, or is this just wild fantasy? And the same thing with, is the head of ISIS really born Jewish?
Well, it was on his Wikipedia. When you dialed, which was now clear, swiped clean, you know, like Clinton swiped clean there.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
So trying to confirm.
Right, but I confirmed it from other. I have like six different sources I confirmed it from. I mean, I should
all
have,
right.
But they would have cleaned it out anyway. But I'm trying to.
You know, to me, what confirms a lot of this, other than even some of the details, maybe not. But what confirms is, because we talk about this all the time, we talk about what we're seeing everywhere is a spiritual battle. I mean, these people are fighting for reasons, and they have their backgrounds. They do have their parental and where they're born, and they change their identities in order to, you know, promote or to, you know, create situations along with governments. So the governments are using their beliefs and their religions and everything, so they're trying to get what they want. I mean, it truly is a mess, but yet you could very easily see and understand, you know, this has been going on for how many years?
Several thousand.
Thousands and thousands.
Yeah, but so,
it may be even older than gold is money.
Yeah, but
which is saying something. I'll tell you what, though, we've got a break to take some commercials. Yvonne, thank you for your call. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on financial survival and to parallel or add to what our previous discussion in the previous segment. Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote a book called The Grand Chessboard, 1997. The Grand Chessboard, American Primacy and Its Geostrategic Imperative. Now, Brzezinski is credited with being a central, if not the central, mastermind behind the idea of setting up some sort of a new world order where the United States would be a primary figure in that new world order. And in theory, it was Brzezinski's thinking that moved us into Afghanistan and into Iraq and one thing or another. It played a big part in it, and there's a report that's come out just in the last couple of days that I'm looking at a headline, and it says, The Broken Chessboard, Brzezinski Gives Up on Empire. And it essentially said, well, it says, here's its part, as its era of global dominance ends, the United States needs to take the lead in realigning the global power architecture. Five basic verities regarding the emerging redistribution of global political power and the violent political awakening in the Middle East are signaling the coming of a new global realignment. The first of these verities is that the United States is still the world's politically, economically, and militarily most powerful entity, but given complex geopolitical shifts in regional balances, it is no longer the globally imperial power. But what they're saying is this whole thing is going up for grabs, and he at least implies that whatever forces we've seen up until now that could be categorized as the New World Order, and Ivan, caller in the last segment, he might have called it the cabal. Brzezinski's saying, wait a second, we've run out of gas here. We still have some stuff, but this is no longer an imperial situation. It's kind of every man for himself. And I'm wondering what the consequences of that will be, not only in the Middle East, and maybe we're seeing the consequences of that, and the Middle East is erupting in a very it's difficult to tell for sure who is who, who's on which side, and what are they fighting for. The whole thing has become a kind of madness, and maybe that's a manifestation of what Brzezinski is talking about. And he says, we've got a broken chessboard, and we're headed towards a global realignment. What does that even mean for the United States of America? We've seen a police state growing in this country for probably 40 years. What's going to happen if this new world order is to some degree compromised? What if Brzezinski is right and we're going to see a global realignment? And will that affect domestic politics in this country? Will it affect whether or not people are going to be able to support the Second Amendment or advocate gun control? And I don't have answers to these questions, but the fact that Brzezinski has shifted gears, given his primary role in what appears to be the New World Order, there's a bunch of questions. There are a bunch of questions that need to be considered and asked, and we need to try to deduce answers to these questions, and we will over time. But I'm just saying, only point I'm making is, it's starting to shake, rattle, and roll. We're flying in an airplane, and it's not clear if one of the engines has fallen off. We may still be able to land, but this is going to be some pretty freaky. This is going to be a freaky flight, and all of us need to be prepared, however we can. What do you think, Melody? Coming to the end of a, or is it going to get freakier still, or do you think good times are about to manifest?
No, I don't. You have to. Brzezinski, he's one of them, so he's not going to tell you what they're really going to do anyway. You know, so if they write about one thing, I don't think the cabal would ever give up. They might cut back. Society catches on to them. You have the turmoil. You have things that are going to go on that they maybe haven't planned, or it's not working in their manner. I mean, you have to look at this is it's good versus evil, and that's going to continue no matter what. So, yeah, they're going to have to realign with, maybe the people in the United States are waking up a little bit. Maybe they weren't as easily taken over as what they thought they would be. I don't know, but, it could be. But I think I mean, I like to be positive and hopeful and all of that. But I do believe there, because of what has happened in the past up until today, there's a day of reckoning that is coming. You know, things that have been done just don't go without consequences. And I believe we will have that day of reckoning. And I do believe we're going to wake up one day to a whole different world. And it could be a number of things that changes it. And it's going to be a matter of who was there to pick up the pieces this time. And, hopefully those...
It's not just a question of who's there to pick up. Well,
yeah.
How many people? I mean, the idea behind a New World Order is that they can pick up all the pieces. But what Brzezinski is essentially saying or implying is maybe they can't. He's saying we're going to have to content ourselves with a new realignment where some people get some of the pieces and other people get other parts of another set of pieces, and the New World Order, or what passes for today, only gets some of the pieces.
I believe that if they break it up and they're only getting some of the pieces, it's just a I believe in the past, whenever these programs and the quote-unquote cabal, the elite, whatever you want to call them, when they have gotten a hold on society and so forth, there was always religion that pushed them back underground. And, people began to see the evil and they pushed them back underground. Well, I think they found a way to come out and look around us. Satanism in this country is increasing every single day. I mean, look at our religion in this country anymore. We're not pushing anybody back underground.
Well, we see things happen.
Pardon?
We see things happen in this country right now that I would have bet were impossible even 10 years ago. I mean, transgender bathrooms in public schools? Are you kidding me? Is this some sort of a fictional novel?
But
you know how it happens. It's not just because bad guys assert themselves. It's because there is a vacuum of good guys. There's a vacuum of moral people who just stand up and say, that is a bunch of crap, and it's not going to happen. I don't care what you say. It ain't happening. We don't have people like that anymore.
No, we don't. That's my point. You know, you talked about the transgender bathrooms. It's like, who's saying anything bad about it?
I know.
You don't hear it. Heck,
I know.
You don't hear the churches saying
there's not even a debate.
It.
It's just
there's
taken
not even
for
a
granted.
Debate. And it's like, hey, okay, you know what? You guys want your own bathroom? Create the own bathroom for you guys. But
hey, listen, get a porta potty and stick it out in the parking lot.
I mean,
get
for
two
less,
or three of them. I don't care.
10% of the population, but you don't hear anybody, you know. And it's just like we've seen this for time and time again. You know, let's take this out of the schools. Let's take this and out of the schools, and let's take this out of the schools. Let's no more prayer. No more, you know, no more flags.
Go Nobody fights for what. No, there is no one here to fight for something like a moral.
No.
Foundation. Nobody's really trying to preserve it, or if they are, there's no leadership trying to preserve it. Right? It may be that a lot of ordinary people agree with what I'm saying, and that's they're not surprised by it. But how many congressmen can you point to who say we're fighting, we're with you? I mean, there was a time when we talked about the moral majority of this country. Right now, could we say there's a moral majority? There is perhaps a moral minority and an immoral or amoral majority. And when we don't have that moral foundation, again, it creates a vacuum. It creates an opportunity for people that advocate things that are simply insane by historic standards. And yet they just walk right in. It just happens. No problem. It's the sort of thing that strikes a certain amount of raises fear, anxiety in the hearts of people that tend to be moral. They're saying, how could this happen? What has gone wrong? Well, part of it, I think, is the moral majority is simply one way or another has been cowed into silence and perhaps even dumbed down to where they don't appreciate the value of their culture, their morality. They don't realize how important it is to maintain that. We've had Bill Clinton saying it's the economy, stupid. And that worked for him, got him elected. But maybe it's not the economy. Maybe it's the nation. Maybe what really counts is not whether you get another stack of $100 bills, but whether you are a moral person and your children are moral people and that you hang on to some notion of right and wrong and not just profit and loss.
And you know
go ahead.
And you know, Al, you talk about morals, and you talk about there's no one there to fight for it and so forth, you know, but schools and so forth, which is what you're saying is true. And I'm going to bring that back to our finances. I'm going to bring that back to our banking system. I'm going to bring that back to Wall Street. I'm going to bring that back to the ladies and gentlemen that are listening to the program, to the money that you have in the banks, to the money that you have in your pension plans, your retirement account. Do you believe that someone is going to protect you from losing what you have?
Absolutely. Some immoral, amoral person. I mean, we're getting ready to perhaps elect a gangster to the presidency. All right? And do you think that gangster is going to protect your wealth? You got to be crazy. This is like asking Willie Sutton to guard the bank. If you're going to give Willie Sutton keys to the bank, all you're going to do is make it easier for Willie Sutton to rob the bank. I don't know how many people still remember Willie Sutton was a big-time bank robber during the Roaring Twenties, the Great Depression, during the 1930s. And they asked him at one point, he said, why do you rob banks? He says, that's where the money is. All right?
But I got this article here that's from the Wall Street Journal, and it talks about, I think Frank sent it to me, German savers lose faith in banks and they stash cash at home. Mm-hmm. Well, number one, I'd rather have gold at home than cash. But anyway, you have German savers are leaving the security of savings banks for what many now consider an even safer place to park their cash, home safes. So Germans are socking money away in savings account. Now, just last week, we talked about how the German government came out and told them, hey, you better be prepared for an emergency. You know, get your emergency supplies there, people, your food, your water. Now you also have Germans, not only are they preparing that way, they're socking away money. They're taking money away from savings accounts. And they're putting it, they're buying these safes, and they're sticking it in these safes.
Well, Japan did something like that, too. They sold out all the safes in Japan. That would be about a year ago. But everybody was buying a safe to keep their cash in because they were going to impose negative interest rates.
And you know what? It just baffles me because these are countries that understand gold. They're countries that understand what has happened in their history. They understand that they've held on to currencies that have been devalued, but yet they decide to hold on to that currency. It's just like, okay, you know. So, folks, convert those dollars because they're going to be lose a lot of the rest of the value that they have left, which is very little.
They've already lost 95% of their value since 1971 as compared to gold. I mean, it doesn't take. That's a trend, folks. When something loses 95% of its value over a course of 40-odd years, there's a real good chance it's going to lose the other 5% of its value over the course of the next several years. It's a trend. It's a fundamental. Because, oh, they're going to change now, and the dollar is going to become more valuable. No, it's not. All right, we may see a little brief episode of deflation, but the long-term, and I don't even mean long-term, we're not talking 20 years from now. I don't see how the dollar can survive another 5 years. I don't see it. It could go down at any time, any moment. So you look at these things and you say to yourself, you know, we're looking at fundamental forces here. You can draw some conclusions. You don't have to believe me or Melody or anyone else, and you shouldn't. You should believe your own eyes and ears and say, you know, they're right. We've had 95% of the value has been wiped out. What makes anyone think they don't intend to knock out the other 5% of the value? The implications are obvious. Get yourself ready and get rid of that paper because it's going to lose that last 5% of value. I don't know, over the course of the next several months, several years, who knows? But bet now. You know, now's the time to place your bet. We're almost out of time. Melody and I want to thank all of you for listening. We want to thank Yvonne for his phone call. And we want to thank Frank, the producer, for producing the show. And other than having said that, hope you will tune in again tomorrow. And in the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer, and Yvonne. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? There never seems to be a single penny left for me.